on, you can do better than them. Come on, give God some praise. Thank God. I am tired, youth department. All of them doing what a marvelous job in the Lord. Give God some praise for our entire youth department. Everything that they're doing. God bless your heart. I want to get into the Word of God. I want to go to a very familiar chapter and verse. Acts chapter 28, verse 1. I give all honor to God this morning for being so good to me. I wonder, do I have anybody here understand what I'm saying? But when I say that God has been just good to you, when it becomes personal, oh God, when it becomes personal, it don't matter who's around me. Come on, help me somebody. Just my personal God, you know, when he's been good to you, you gotta tell somebody. Can I just get you to take 5 seconds and tell your neighbor, God's been good to you. Come on, come on. It's personal. God's been good to me, brother. God's been good to me. He brought me from all the, I understand your testimony, but boy, my testimony. Everybody's testimony is personal. God, that's enough to make a crazy noise up in here. Somebody can just have church all by themselves, right? If I don't go no farther, you can preach your own message about just what Jesus has done in your life. Acts 28 and verse 1. Let's read it together. And when they were Melita. All right. Some say Melita. It's Melita. Melita. And other verses of your Bible, it say Malta. Amen. All right. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I want to talk on for a little bit of your time. A pit stop. A pit stop. A pit stop. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, asking you, oh God, to forgive us for all of our sins. As we come, Father God, we ask you, oh Lord, that we step out of your way, God. We ask you to have your own way as you increase. It's all about you, Father. We give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' precious name. And we all say, amen. Amen. A pit stop. Anybody remember that back in those days when you used to catch trailways or the Greyhound bus? I know everybody. I'm gonna say that. Some of y'all don't want nobody to know you caught a bus, but I've caught some. I didn't ride trailways, but Greyhound, me and the dog knew each other. Help me somebody. I remember one time I rode the bus so much I got tired and took a taxi to the airport in the middle of my traveling because I got tired of riding the bus. But riding the bus is just like on a plane. On the plane, you're riding the plane and You are supposed to go to your destination. But there are periods of times when the aircraft is unable to go to its direct destination. It has to go around due to the condition of the weather. Sometimes when the plane is hovering over areas, it gets to a point where it cannot land. It has to go and make a stop. The reason is because sometimes it has to refuel or pick up someone else. I remember that even when we was flying to Baghdad, we made two stops. And we stopped in New York. And we was on the plane and the weather condition was bad. But it was a very large aircraft. But we had to stop because we had to refuel. And it did not want us to get off of the plane due to the weapons that each of us was carrying. So they made us stay in place. And then after which they fueled up and put more food on. But while we was there, some of us got up and we walked around and inside of the plane. And they had a special plane to come for. And we had what we call those chairs that you can lay back and sleep in. And they had a TV on it. It was all hooked up for us to go to battle. And what happens, then we went to Czechoslovakia, and we stopped there. And they let us get off in a holding area. And they continued to refuel the plane. And then when we got ready to go to our destination, in the middle of it, right before we got back on the plane, they said that we had to wait for some other cargo to come. And that made us all nervous. But we didn't understand that the cargo that was coming was very important for our mission. And it's just like whenever you're on a plane, and I remember going to Korea, and one of the wings started going down, meaning it was becoming detached from the plane. And so we had to stop in Japan and get it fixed. They didn't give us another aircraft. That made me nervous. But it was a pit stop. So I found that in life's journey, pit stops are important. And that on your destination of where you're going, there's always a reason for a pit stop. When cars and the race cars, they're racing, and every now and then you see them drive to the pit, hurry up, and they take off the wheels, and they regas them back up to place them back on the road again. And I would always say, why would they let them stop? Why don't they just keep going so they can win the race? But I found out that it's impossible to really accomplish the race if you don't look at the importance of your stops. All of us in here are on a spiritual aircraft. We are flying, trying to get to our destination. And on our way, trying to get to our destination, there are some pit stops. I don't know how long you're going to be in the pit. I don't know how long you're going to be where you are, but there is a pit stop. But I want you to understand something, that a pit stop means temporary. God have mercy. I wish I had a whole lot of saints up in here that can understand what a temporary stop means. It don't mean that you stop forever. It means temporary stop. But in the process of being
in a pit, there are some things that is happening in there to make it better, so that when you start going again, you won't have to have no worries. All pit stops are not meant for you. Help me, somebody. When we did the pit stop, it was really to get some cargo. It was meant to help somebody else. But the selfishness of us that was on the plane, we were tired, we were ready to get where we needed to go. But it's not always about us. Help me, somebody. Your pit stop ain't all about you. And I think that what happens, that we get so wrapped up in ourselves of what we want, how we want to do it, when we want to get there, and how we want to tackle this thing, you forget that your mission is not all about you. I wish I had a witness here. Turn to your neighbor and say, my pit stop is not all about me. But your pit stop have everything to do with you arriving at your destination. Oh, God. Not only that, but your pit stop have everything to do with the mission that God has you on. Can I tell you something? You're on a mission. You're on a mission. I'm on a mission from God. You have to understand that the mission that you are on is from God. And if God said you have to have a pit stop, you got to have a pit stop. If God says stop, refuel, do something that's part of your mission in order to accomplish your destiny. You don't hear me. You can never hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that thou been faithful over a few things. Come on now. I make you ruler over many until you make your pit stop. God, help me. I would hate not to make it because I refuse to make pit stop. That means I was disobedient. That means I ignored God. And if I would ignore a pit stop, I can have some bad things to happen worse on the way to my destination. Oh, God. I look here at the text, and I got in the text, and I look at this. I saw something here that really, and I've preached this so many of times, but God opened my eyes, and I saw something. But prior to going here, I want to look at Paul. I want to look at Paul. Paul was a Pharisee. Yeah. Understand that Paul, being the Pharisee that he was, his father was a Pharisee. And here, when we think about Paul being a Pharisee, Paul had a relationship with God. I want to go somewhere with you now. And I challenge other pastors in this. And I don't mind doing that. I do that all the time. But when we think about it, Paul had a stern relationship with God. Although we know the Pharisees believe in a resurrection one day. The Pharisees did, and the Pharisees believed in the Mosaic law. But they also believed in the oral law that God gave to Moses. So sometimes the Pharisees added a little bit. Help me, somebody. And you know what I looked at? I said, well, that's all right, because some of us had a little bit too. Help me, somebody. And when the Pharisees were so stern on the Mosaic law, they wanted to do everything that was in the law. And so when I look at Paul loved God. He had read the Mosaic law. He did his best to abide by the Mosaic law. The Bible said that Paul of Tarsus, he went to the university in Tarsus. And Tarsus was a well-educated place who taught people concerning the Mosaic law. And not only that, but when we talk about Paul did not play when it came against God. The Bible said Paul had a zeal for God. Paul was well educated. He was a Hebrew. He was considered a citizen of Roman. And at times, because of his education in Greek language and the study of Greek living, he lived like a Roman, a Jew, and a Greek. In other words, he knew how to survive wherever he was. Oh, God, help me, somebody. Not only surviving wherever he was, but he always the word of God.
Can I hit you with something?
What really interfered with Paul is Jesus.
I know some of y'all said, how can Jesus interfere? Well, understand this now. If he obeyed the law, when Jesus came in, that interfered with his relationship with God. He had a zeal for God. He loved God. But to hear about somebody portraying to be God interfered with him.
Y'all hear me on that?
He had never seen God. The Bible said no man has ever seen God. Because if you see God, you can't live. What Paul was interfered in is, how can a man say he's the Son of God? And if he's here, then everybody should be dead. Saying no such thing as somebody say that they are God. The Bible says here, no man can live and see God at the same time. And so what happens here is that when Jesus came about, it really kind of messed Paul up. Because Paul believed in God, but to him, Jesus Christ was a portrayer of saying they are God.
Oh, y'all don't hear me.
And so what Paul was so angry is that Paul, when he found out that there were people that were saying that was Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is God, it made Paul angry. Paul thought that he was doing God a favor by persecuting and locking those up that thought that it was another man called God. And so what happened now, Paul here had such a zeal for God, but he really didn't have the knowledge of God. I wish I had some witnesses up in here, because we have a whole lot of folk that love God up in here, but don't have no knowledge of who God really is. Because if you really knew who God is, some of the medication we taking, we wouldn't be taking. Because all of us really ain't sick in our body. We're sick in...
I'm trying to help somebody. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help somebody.
Because what happens is that we have what we call a nerve condition. We get nervous and we have to take tranquilizers and we have to take all kinds of stuff because we have so much. If you really knew who God was.
I'm trying to help somebody.
Baby, you wouldn't have to take all that medication. And I'm not talking about your medication when you're sick, because the Bible says that he that is sick need a physician. But there are some of us don't need to take medicine. We need to have more faith.
I have to say that because I get some folk that taking your blood pressure medicine. That devil's a lie. Baby, your blood pressure's high. You better take your medicine every morning and every night. I'm trying to help somebody. Because, baby, I had mine. I ain't lying. I had some. Running and still taking it. Get my blood pressure, my sugar medicine, everything I got to take, I took. But I tell you what, you ain't going to give me no nervous breakdown, because I'm going to keep my mind.
Y'all don't hear me. Somebody said, well, baby, why you got to take medicine? Because this old tin of mine breaking down, baby. Y'all don't hear me.
I'm trying to help somebody.
And so what happened? What happened to Paul? Paul here, he's angry. So Paul here, watch this. Paul watches Stephen. Stephen, he was the one that apostolized. Stephen here, the one here that was a disciple who had been converted into a deacon. Now, he had watched Stephen be stoned to death. The Bible said that when they stoned Stephen, that Paul was right there. Y'all don't hear me. Paul watched them stone Stephen because Stephen was talking about a man called Jesus. God have mercy. Jesus will get you in trouble. Oh, God, I know some of y'all looking at me funny, but I ain't lying. Ever since I accepted Jesus, the devil been trying to kill me. When you decide
to live right, when you decide to follow Jesus, when you decide to plead the blood, the devil will try to kill you. I wish I had some believers in here, because ever since you went on your fast, ever since you started praying, ever since you started reading your Bible, the devil been trying to kill you ever since.
I ain't lying. I know I got some believers up in here. I know I have some folk up in here that know what I'm talking about. But watch this.
And so what happened? What happens? And Paul watches. He watches him. He watches him in the very act of being stoned. The Bible says here that he was stoned unto death. And then what they did is they went through all the area and grabbing those Christians, that called on Jesus, locking them in prison, found that it was doing the good deed of God. And Paul liked it so much that Paul went even and got permission to go to Damascus. He said, look, man, this ain't good. We're doing God a favor. We're killing all of the Christians. So he went and got permission to go down to Damascus. And going down to Damascus, getting permission to lock those up who know Jesus. I went down there and got on his horse and got his men together and got ready to go down there. And on the way there, Jesus Christ met him. Oh, I want to tell you something. Paul was going to rise up against the children of God. What Paul had to realize is that the children of God that was in Damascus had a shield around them. Y'all don't hear me. God had put a hedge around his children that was in Damascus. Paul got on a horse with other soldiers to go down there with chains and was going to try to lock them up and bring them back to hurt them. But on the way there, God met him.
God have mercy.
God will meet your enemies. God will meet your obstacles. God will deal with whatever is trying to destroy you. You don't hear me. God dealt with them and knocked them out his horse.
Why did God knock him off his horse? Number one, God knocked him off his horse.
Because what Paul needed to understand is that you can't be a child of God. And you're not rising up so much against the child of God, but you're rising up the God that is in the child.
Can I get a witness here?
And he knocks him off his horse. And he begins to say, you can't kick against the prick. You can't fight against me. You can never win. And the Bible says that when he knocks him off his horse, from the bright light, it blinded him. Can I talk to you? For a little while, it blinded him. In other words, God closed his eyes to everything that was around because God wanted him to hear that it was really him talking to him. He was saying, Paul, all this time, you had really never talked to me. You had a zeal for me, but you really never talk to me. Oh, y'all don't hear me. But because I didn't want you to look at those that was with you, I had to blind you. Because I had to shut everything out of your face. You don't hear me. There, sometimes God got to shut your eyes to a lot of stuff in order to get your attention. Y'all don't hear me. God's trying to save your life by shutting your eyes to a lot of stuff. And can I tell you something? You are letting too much mess come in front of your eyes. You better shut your eyes to a lot of mess and just start talking to God. Y'all don't hear me. When you need to talk to God, you gotta come deaf and you gotta come blind and you need to shut up and hear what thus says the Lord. I wish I had some mutes up in here today that say, I just want to hear from Jesus. Lord, I don't want to get in the way. I want you to get in the way because I've been talking too much. So look at the text. And so in the text here, I look here now, and that the Bible said that he became blind. And then so blind that the men that was with him
God had ordained them to be with them because it needs to be a testimony that a bright light shined from heaven. Watch this. When he said, God, who art thou? The reason is because there were so many gods. He wanted to know which God it was. He had to let them know who he was because he's the only one with power. I wish I had some witnesses here. He's the only one that can move. He's the only one that can talk. He's the only one that can heal. He's the only one that can deliver. He's the only one that can shift some things. He's the only one that can help you out. He's the only one that can lay you down. He's the only one that can wake you up. He's the only one that can go to the doctor with you. He's the only one can bring you out of the operation. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I wish I had some believers in here and say, he is my rock in a weary land. Oh God. Watch this. He takes him down. He says, I want you to go down to the city. I was called straight, and I want you to stay there. And he stayed there for 3 days, and God calls one to come and talk to him. But there in those 3 days, while he was blind, God begins to minister to him. He begins to talk back to God. God will make you talk to him. He will place you in a position where all you can do is talk to him. Oh, y'all don't hear me. God say, if you really want to know me, you gonna know me now. He said, the point is that you thought you knew me, but baby, you really don't know me. He said, but I had to blind you, separate you from things, separated you from people, because watch this, when he blind him, Paul didn't want to be around nobody else. He didn't want to talk to nobody because of the condition that he was in. If you don't believe me, wait till God place you in a position that's uncomfortable, where you can't really hold your head up high. Oh, y'all don't hear me. God knocked him off of his horse because he was too high. God got to knock you down sometimes. When you knock you down, it means you become a failure. Can I tell you something? Thank God for being a failure. It's because of my failures that made me like I am today. It's because of my downfalls. God, you don't hear me. It's because of everything that happened to me. I failed. I made some mistakes in life. It's because of my failure I'm able to stand on my feet. You don't hear me. The greatest people in the world today are the people who fail. God, help anybody in here know what I'm talking about. When you fall down, baby, God now come pick you up. You fell out of school, you didn't make it, but look at you now, baby. When you look at yourself now, you know what I'm talking about. When you've been violated by uncle and aunties and grandmas and granddaddies, when folk have turned their back on you and left you by yourself, God have mercy, and they said, I'll never be nobody. You step out in the world and you did anything you could do. You was a failure. But when I met Jesus, I realized I can climb out of the pit that I'm in. When I met Jesus, I found out that anything that falls can get back up
again. You don't hear me.
When I met Jesus, I found out that if I fall down on my knees, it gives me the opportunity to talk to my Father who sits high and look low.
God have mercy.
Won't he come down and pick you up? I say, won't he come down? Not just down, way, way, way down, and pick you back up.
Oh God, I wish I had some believers in here. And so watch this. He goes to the city. He comes and he begins to talk to God. And he begins to get his life together. And can I tell you something? Is that God takes him to the city. And when God takes him to the city, and then when God brings him through his situation, I want you to understand something. Is that the place that he was going to hurt him, God allowed them to see
that he can change the worst.
Oh God, y'all don't hear me.
Whoever's in a bad state, God can change your life. I want you to see what God done. Can I tell you that was a pit stop in his life? And so God took him and he changed his life in the midst of those. God was trying to show him that the one that does not know him, he can change him. But when Paul's life was changed, he was on a mission from God.
Oh God.
I went over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And here, I'm rather 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I looked at it, verse 24. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, look what it says. It says here, of the Jews, 5 times received our 40 stripes. Say one. In other words, 5 times he was whipped 39 times. Can I tell you that's a pit stop? Watch this. He says here, as you continue to read in verse 25, he said, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day and have been in the deep. My God, if you continue to read it, he talks about not only that, he said, but I had trouble in the water, trouble with robbers, and trouble with my own countrymen, trouble with heathens, and trouble in the city, trouble in the wilderness, trouble in the sea, and trouble among false brethren. Can I tell you something? Is that through your life on your pit stops, you're going to have some run-ins.
Oh God.
The run-in that you're going to have is just a pit stop. God didn't mean it directly for you.
Oh, y'all don't hear me.
But the devil wants to kill you because God is trying to take you. You have to understand that through his pit stops, it was not all about Paul, but it was about who God was trying to get to know who he was. Every time they beat him because he was trying to encourage someone to get to know who Jesus was. Every time they put a slash on him, it was because he was teaching about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I dare you to try to live right. I dare you to get in your word. I dare you to call him Jehovah Jireh. Because I tell you, the devil is going to come at you, but you have to understand it's just a pit stop. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Pit stops in your life. But when I look at the text, not only that, but when I see that they caught him and placed him in prison, they were trying to get him to Rome. God told him that he was going to Rome. The Bible said that while they were on this ship, storms came. Can I tell you, storms came out of the sea trying to kill him and all of the 276 soldiers that was with him. The Bible says that was a pit stop. Can I help you with this? Because when I look at it, why is it that while they were on the ship on the way to Rome, that the Lord decided for the ship to be torn up and stopped at an island full of barbarians?
Oh God.
Watch this. The island that was there of barbarians was there folks that was uncivilized.
Oh, y'all don't hear me.
There were folk here that were dangerous people. The barbarians there was unholy and unrighteous. But when they saw all 276 come, the Bible said they treated them right. Can I tell you why? Because they really thought that they were gods, because nobody else could have made it through two hurricanes that collides together. Y'all don't hear me. Category 5 storms were out there, had collapsed together.
Y'all don't hear me.
And tore up the boat. But all 276 swim till they got to this barbarian island. It's called a pit stop. When I look at this thing, God, why would you allow them to stop? Can I tell you something? Because God had a need. need for them to go to this island.
Oh, y'all don't hear me.
The people that were there needed to know who he was. And it was somebody on board the ship,
God have mercy,
that needed to make a pit stop.
God.
So everybody that was with Paul had to swim to get where Paul needed to go from the Lord. On his way to Rome, he had to make a pit stop.
God have mercy.
Because God was thinking about the barbarians that was there. He said, there were my children there.
Can I tell you something?
That when you think you can't get out of your situation, God will send somebody to bring you out of it.
Y'all don't hear me?
When you think you're at the lowest place and that nobody sees you and that it's impossible for you to get out, I want you to know out of nowhere, God will send help.
For you. Oh, I wish I had some believers in here.
You had to be in the place of the barbarians. They didn't know who Jesus was. They were lost. But God said, I chose an unholy folk to get to know who I am. He chose them, so he sent Paul on his way to Rome. But watch this. He had to be shipwrecked. He had to be beat 5 times. He had to have trouble with his family. He had to have trouble with his own countrymen. He had to be talked about. If you continue looking in the text, it said he went hungry. He went thirsty. He went through a hot situation. And he went through some cold situations. But God got him ready so that he could go to the island of Malta to deal with some unholy folk. Won't God do something? Tell your neighbor, it ain't about me. Sometimes God take you through some places so that he can help somebody. Sometimes God take you through some things so that God can help somebody else.
I'm almost finished here. Watch this. So when he gets there to the island, the Bible said that they treated him real good. Treated him good. Treated him good. Treated him kindly. But what happened? He was cold and wet. Can I tell you something? That when you're cold and wet, the only way that you're going to get warm is that you have to have the Holy Spirit back in your life. When the Holy Spirit comes back in your life, it begins to warm you back up. Can I tell you, some of us are cold and wet. Now, you didn't just swim out of your situation, but you're still cold and you're still wet. And the reason is because you need an anointing of the Holy Spirit to warm you up. The reason why some of us have no flame and no fire is because there's no anointing. God have mercy. Some of us in here right now, we are unable to see what the message is all about. And I don't know why you came to church. But can I tell you something? You need an anointing in your life. And so what happened is, he went over to some sticks. Watch this. The sticks were over there, not bothering nobody. But he understood that the sticks have a great deal to do with what's in his life. So when he began to look at the sticks, he thanked about everything that he's got to burn up in order to get warm again. God have mercy. He grabbed everything that was in his life. Can I talk to you? You need to grab some things in your life and start burning them up so that you can get your anointing back. Y'all don't hear me today. There's some people you need to burn it up. Oh God. There's some lifestyles you need to burn up. God have mercy. There's some habits you need to burn up so that you can get your anointing back. There's a mouth need to be burned up so you can get your anointing back. There's some negative thoughts in your head you need to burn up so you can get your anointing back. Can I get a witness? Understand, while you're trying to burn up some things, the devil gonna be in it.
You don't hear me.
The serpent was in the sticks. The serpent stayed with the sticks as long as Paul was coming. cold. Y'all don't hear me. But when Paul decided to bang up some things so that he can get a charge up in his life, y'all don't hear me. The serpent started coming through the sticks because he knew that he decided to get rid of some things in order to get warm. Watch this. In the process, he burned it up. So the serpents, the viper, the Bible says venomous, came up through the sticks. And can I tell you something? He caught a hold to Paul. God have mercy. Can I tell you why he caught a hold of Paul? Because he wanted to kill Paul. Watch this. Because he know Paul had a pit stop from God. Y'all don't hear me. Can I really take you somewhere? He was really trying to kill Paul when Paul was in the storm. Y'all don't hear me. But what happened is Paul learned how to swim. I wish I had some folk that could swim. Because sometimes you gotta swim, baby. When the ship is broke up, swim. And if you can't swim, float. God have mercy. And if you can't float, act like a dog trying to make it where you are. Because what happens is that the devil want to kill you, right? Because he know this pit stop is part of your mission. And while you're on a pit stop, can I tell you something? Some of y'all are losing faith. But if you can make it out of two category fives, surely you can deal with a venomous snake. You don't hear me? The Bible said it had poison in it. And the folks stepped back and they said, wait a minute. I thought that he was a good man since the Lord didn't kill him while he was in the sea. But now I see this venomous snake caught a hold to him and put poison in him. He must be guilty of what he did. Y'all don't hear me. Folk would try to go back on your life path and try to say, well, I thought they was out of it. But they keep on having trouble. So they must still be into what they used to do. But I come out of there to tell you I'm not into what I used to do. And what I'm going through ain't about me. But this pit stop is to help somebody else along life. Can I get a witness here? If they sit back and they started talking and talking about Paul, you got some people that will sit back on you and try to watch you die. But I got news for you, baby. You might as well put up a chair and put up something to eat that's going to last for many, 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 many years. Because I ain't getting ready to die now. I've been too much to die. I've been through all kinds of hell and hot water. And you think I'm going to die now? Tell your neighbor, not now.
Oh, y'all don't hear me.
Everything that I'm cooking, not now. You got to start telling folk, not now. You should have did it when you had a chance, but not now. I wish I had some real folk up in here. Help my mic. That my helper that would say, not now. You're not going to hurt me now. You hurt me too much. You're not going to take me back. I've been in the back too long. I'm about to sit in the front of the bus. Not today, baby. Not now. It don't matter what the hospital report says. Not now. It don't matter what the job says. Not now. You trying to tell me you won't divorce me. And you won't try to hurt me. Not my heart. I've been hurt too much. Not now. Whatever you won't do, do it. Take the house. Take the furniture. And take your kids too. But not
kill me in the hospitals. You should have killed me on the deathbed of affliction. You should have killed me when I was in jail. You should have killed me in the car accident. But not now. She is. Paul, look at the snake. Look at the snake. Say, are you finished? Put all you're going to put in me. But I got my anointing in my life. When you get the anointing, can I tell you something? You can shake it off. Is it anybody here? Got your power back? Is it anybody? Got your word in you? Is it anybody? Got your joy back? Is it anybody? Got your peace back? Can I tell you? Not now. Whatever you gonna do, you better go ahead and do it. But I know